Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Thanks for joining us. Saturday morning, December the 27th. And we are live here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show every Saturday morning, again, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. This is a show hosted by Mike Overson of Luminate Bank and Scott Womering, myself, Ryan O'Neill, with the Minnesota Real Estate Team, RE/MAX Advantage Plus, here every Saturday morning. Always love hearing from you. Scott, Mike, good to see you guys. Thanks for being here, as always.
Hey, good morning, Ryan.
Yep, good to be here. Appreciate everybody tuning in. We were just talking about, this is our last show of the year. We will not see you after this until 2026, so let's make it a good show. Love your comments and questions during the show. 612-294-6949 is how you can join us. Either by text or if you'd like to go live on air, and we will cover any questions that you have.
Yeah, a lot going on in the Minnesota real estate market, and you can interrupt us here at any point, 612-294-6949, at any point, 612-294-6949 is how you can interrupt us. A lot going on, a lot to talk about, and Mike, it's kind of prediction season here, interest rate update. Saw your email earlier this week. Looks like rates. Yeah, what's the latest? Give us the skinny.
So, you know, if we kind of recap 2025 here, we did see some 7% interest rates earlier in the year. But as we went through the year, rates did come down into the low sixes. And we've seen that steady low six interest rate, you know, for the last probably good 4 months or so. And so I think that's going to continue. I think we're going to see a lot of stability in interest rates. I think that's going to propel us to have a very busy spring coming up here. Maybe we see rates drift a little bit lower, but I don't think they're going to go as low as a lot of us had predicted, even towards the beginning of last year. So I know a lot of us were thinking 5.5% is what we would hit sometime this year. We didn't get there. We did get to like 5.875, maybe just for a couple weeks, but hung around that 6 to 6.125 for a good chunk. So, as long as we can ride that stability, the interest rate stability here, maybe even drift down a little bit more in 2026, it's going to be very busy for us.
Well, when we were doing the show last week, we were talking when Ryan was actually in the green room waiting for his waiting for his big concert with give me sparkling water without the sparkles, you know, that kind of a guy. We were talking about the fact that it was Wells Fargo and Bank of America and U.S. Bank and all of these kind of powers of industry when they had predictions of what was going to happen in 2026 and 2027 for interest rates, they were all like 5.9% to 6.2, 6.3. I mean, it was just bunched very, very little. So I think the thought of us going into the fives is if it happens, it would be no one's predicting it.
Right, exactly. And so that's why I think we're going to see the stability like we've seen here the last half of 2025 that's going to go into 2026. I wouldn't expect rates to fall out of the bottom by any means. But I would expect that stability to hang around 6%.
Hey, again, you're welcome to join us, 612-294-6949. We are live here in downtown Minneapolis, and you can ask us anything, preferably real estate related, but it doesn't have to be. We got a call awry. Who's on the line? Who's on the horn with us? Carl tonight?
We got Carl. Carl, go ahead, please.
Yeah, you like fruitcake? Hello?
Yes, go ahead. We love fruitcake.
Oh, okay. I'm joking. He said I could ask anything. I wanted to know about senior citizens. Let me just tell you, I'm 80 years old, and I got my home paid off, and everybody tells me I should stay here, but I want to just liquidate. Is there any reason that I should stick around and keep the home? I paid $38,000 for it. They tell me it's worth $610 now.
Where is it?
I don't know, but Invergrove Heights.
Yeah, you know, Carl, great question. I'm surprised we don't get more of this with everybody getting a little bit older in Minnesota. You know, it really is a personal...
Or everyone getting older
yeah,
everywhere.
Everyone's getting older everywhere.
Scott, but it's just yeah, Minnesota.
It's really a personal thing. Because at this point, you know, are you really concerned on whether the house is going to continue to go up, whether it's 610 now and 5 years from now it's 650? Not really. I mean, you've made your dough. You bought it for 38 grand. You've done everything you should have done. If you know, if it was my dad, I would probably say, why don't you do what you, I mean, what do you want to do? You want to cash out and have a little bit of fun? I'd probably say cash out and have a little bit of fun.
Yeah, kind of the anti-realtor thing in me just says, you know, don't sell it, just hold on to it. But I think Scott's point is the key. It's something we're big on here at the show, is just doing what you want to do. You know, I think at the end of the day, if it is selling the house, you know, yeah, maybe it is selling it and taking monies and doing what you want to do with it. It is. We're going to dive in, Carl, to the numbers here in a second. I mean, it's even in the winter, people often say, is it a good time to sell a house? Well, you're going to hear we've got very limited inventory. And so, again, depending upon price point and area, you're going to find people are interested. And so, yeah, thanks for calling. And good for you, Carl. My gosh, you own it free and clear. I mean, God bless you. $38,000 worth $600,000. That, for young first-time homebuyers, that's the power of real estate. Even now is buying and call us in 30 years.
Yeah, well, and the other thing that pops into my brain, just because I've been doing this since Moby Dick was a guppy, so I've seen all the ups and downs and whatever else, is you know that you've got 610 in probably the highest seller's market that we've ever seen. I mean, there was maybe 4 months in 2022 where it was a little bit higher, but for the most part, you are maxing out on the absolute highest amount that you could get for your house. Does that continue over 5 years? Do we hit another little, we're not going to hit a 2008, but do we hit a setback where prices go down? In your situation, you know what you have right now.
Yeah, again, thanks for joining us. We're going to keep talking a little bit, Carl, after the break here. We do love fruitcake. So thank you for that. Hope you and your family had a great Christmas. You're having a wonderful holiday season. Appreciate you all joining us. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the second segment of the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us. Thanks for all your support. Just very briefly, I did want to mention a huge thank you to all the WCCO listeners, as well as to Scott, Mike, Steve Stalock, who is a great sponsor of our charity concerts we did for the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. It was two shows last weekend, 2 o'clock and 7 o'clock. Scott, I saw you right in the front row at the 7 o'clock. Give us just a brief review. What do you think?
It was awesome, and they're always awesome. But this year I thought was exceptionally good. Packed house, and Ryan and his brother face off with pianos on stage. And what I always was the most amazed at, you know, with my fat fingers, it takes me 10 seconds to actually text. So when I watch you guys play, it just, I don't understand how you don't hit the wrong key every once in a while. But anyways, they'll take requests from the people in the audience. And I was just always amazed that it didn't matter what song it was, his brother would be like, oh, that brings me back to 1991. And then he would just start, and then Ryan would be like, oh, gosh, you fool, it does.
The funny thing is, of course, with the last name of O'Neill, we are Irish. And so one of them in the basket, we ask people to write them in the basket. One of them says, do you Irishmen know any polkas?
Yes.
So, of course, I grew up in New Prague. I mean, what do you think? We know some polkas. So we sang a little beer barrel polka. Mike, we got to pull you up on stage. I know you're a huge supporter. Big thanks to Luminate, who made a huge donation to the show, helping the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. We're going to bring you on stage, bud.
Tell you what, if you want a really good polka banger, apples, peaches, pumpkin pie. Do you know that one?
Yes.
Dude, that's killer. I play that at like our football tailgates and people that's just go
funny.
Nuts.
That's funny.
It's amazing.
Yeah, no, it was a great night. Everybody's dressed up. Saw a lot of radio listeners.
Yeah.
That had come up and said they listened to the show and that's how they got their tickets. So it was cool.
Yeah, big thanks to WCCO, the great team here. Of course, Ryan Perpich, just the entire team here. Just super grateful for them sharing the word about the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. A lot of money was raised, most importantly, helping 3 to 4 families a week locally who are experiencing hardships. These are good people, again, who have jobs. They're doing their best to make it in life. Often they kind of slip through the cracks. So, again, just really appreciate everybody stopping out and your support. Scott, I'm diving back into real estate market update-wise. As you were just kind of sharing with Carl here, new listings down almost 12%. Pending sales down 18% year over year. The inventory is down to 8,775 homes for sale in the Twin Cities. A balanced market is at least double that. Scott, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about this. That's why Mike and I were just looking at it, nodding our head, because we hit 10,000 homes on the market about a month ago. And we were saying if it's consistent with what we've seen over the last 3 years, that's going to put us into about 7,500 homes, you know, upper sixes to 7,500 homes by the end of February. And that is a recipe for an extremely gangbuster spring market, which everybody gets excited about. Yay, great, a spring market that's going to be – it depends on who you are and what your situation is. If you're just a buyer that does not have anything to sell, you want to avoid getting caught the end of the third week in February. Right now is your time. Right now there are specials out there. I'm dealing with a couple right now. All the new construction under 400 grand, the big box builders, you know, they're giving 3.9% rates that they've, you know, for 7 years. There are deals out there. Those will disappear come the end of February when we're only dealing with 7,000 homes on the market and 9 zillion buyers. We're going to be back to 10, 15 offers on everything.
Mike, you have thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's just a repeat of the last basically 4 or 5 years that we've seen. And the numbers, literally, if you go back and look at, you know, well, we looked at the numbers last year, we're 2% under where we're at last year. Yep. At this time. We're really, really close to the exact same inventory numbers as last year, and it's just going to be a repeat. Our interest rates, I believe, are going to be more stable this year, which that's going to help buyers get off the fence and get back into the market. So it's probably going to make it a little bit busier of a spring. So definitely, if you're a buyer and you don't have a house to sell, between now and the end of February is your best time to buy. If you have a house to sell and you're going to wait for the spring, just know you're probably going to gain it on one side and lose it on the other. You're going to get 15 to 20 grand more for your house on the sale, but you're going to pay 15 to 20 grand more when you go compete against the other buyers.
Well, and again, we talk a lot about what are the best 1-2 punches right now. That's a really good example of that. In my opinion, if you are selling under 500 and buying over 500, you're stepping up, right now is the best time to do that because you're still maxing out on your under 500 number. That's going to be a banger number. But you're buying in a little bit of a depressed market in that 6-7. That will not be depressed come the spring market. So, again, it depends on your situation. And we're always here, obviously. 612-294-6949 if you want to talk off-air about whether the situation is good for you or not. But it does depend.
Yeah, I had a question. A text question came in. It says, good morning, team. Please explain how mortgage rates relate to 10-year bonds when Jay Powell is replaced in 2026. It is reasonable to expect lower mortgage rates? Elaborate if possible.
Yeah, so typically when the 10-year treasury bonds, when they go up, interest rates go up. So, you know, the bond market, the treasury market, and then the mortgage-backed securities market are on a teeter-totter. So when one goes up, the other goes down. So as 10-year treasury bonds go up, the mortgage market goes down. And as the mortgage market gets worse, interest rates get worse, meaning the interest rates go up. So that's kind of the relationship between those two there. And the second part of that question was?
When the Fed chair is replaced.
Yeah. So there's going to be a Fed chair replacement here in May, right? So a lot of people are kind of circling May on their calendar of what happens when the current Fed chair goes out and the new one comes in. What does that do to interest rates, right? Does the new Fed chair, is he more hawkish or is he more bearish on certain things?
Or she.
Or she.
No, it's a he.
Wow. Jeez.
It is. I already know who it's going to be. It's going to be what doesn't matter. It's going to be a he.
Okay.
Yeah. So who knows, right? It's one of those things where that's the X factor. We don't know, right? We don't know exactly what's going to happen when the new person takes over. So I don't expect anything crazy, to be honest with you, but we never know. We'll see.
Yeah, again, 612-294-6949 is how you can join us at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Average age of a first-time home buyer last year was 40. I'm sorry, the median age was 40 years old.
You know what it was 10 years ago?
It said it fell to, and the share of first-time home buyers was a record low of 21% last year. So only 1 in 5 were first-time home buyers. Not good. Steve, I see you shaking your head. Do you have thoughts to share on that one, Steve?
Well, I just look back at my personal experience, bought my first house in the mid-20s, and Scott said, well, do you know what it was 10 years ago? I'm guessing it was probably in the mid-20s.
I think it was 24 or 25 10 years ago, and now the number that I thought was 38, but 40 sounds, and we've talked about this on the show, if that continues, we have a problem. We have a major problem. The first-time home buyers is what drives everything out. That's your trickle-up economics, so to speak. If you remove the first-time home buyer and make it unaffordable for them to buy homes, which we're getting to that point, only 21% of the market is first-time home buyers. It is not good. And if that sustains itself, we will be in trouble over time.
Yeah. Again, 612-294-6949 is how you can join us with any questions at all. I just had a commentary saying, do you guys expect any real dip in real estate prices? Any dip in prices, Scott, or thoughts on dips?
No dip. Again, it's driven by a free market. And when you're talking about less than 18,000 homes, that is a seller's market. We're right now at, what did we say, 8,500. We'll probably be at 7,000 in February. So no, there will be no dip in pricing. What there will be, which we've seen, and that's why the consistent interest rate Mike is talking about is so important, is we're seeing a nice little, what did we go up, 3-4% last year? About 3-4% appreciation.
Yep.
As long as that continues, everything's golden. We don't want to get back to rates are at 4%, and then all of a sudden a $400,000 house is 450 and it throws everything out of whack like it did in 2022. So this is very, very good. But I think we're going to see 2-4% appreciation, maybe 6% on things that are under 500 grand, maybe zero from things that are 850 to a million and a half. You know, so we're gonna see that.
Hey, we've got a caller here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show, Tony. Tony, thanks for calling the show. And how could we best help?
Yeah, I was just listening to you guys talk here about the median home buyer or the first time home buyer, and I'm wondering because I hear a lot on the news, and I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out myself. If there's a crisis, everybody keeps telling us about this crisis in the homes that there's not enough homes, we got to build more, but I kind of hear it, and the research I've done is more on these advocacy groups for contractors and unions are the ones that are really pushing this shortage. But is there really a home shortage in Minnesota? And if there is, point me to where the proof is, because I can't see it.
Yeah, really good. Thanks for that question. That's a really good question. Scott, you want to go first? I have some definite thoughts. Mike, you too.
Well, I mean, let's define this. Is there a shortage of homes in the Twin Cities? No. Is there a shortage of homes on the market? Absolutely. So, you know, I'm not sure how to answer that question. If people wanted to sell, do we have plenty of homes to sell? Of course we do. But what's happening in Minnesota is we just have a shortage of actual homes that have gone on. There's a lot of reasons that go into that. We had, whatever it was, Mike, $11 trillion in refinances in 2022 to 2.7%. Well, a lot of people are just fine with that. They're not moving. So you take that portion off the table. You take the portion off the table that they bought their house 3 years ago for 500 grand, and they look at 750, and it really is not that much more of a house. So they don't really get it, so they're just kind of sitting tight. You had something to add, Ryan.
Yeah, I just my thought is, again, just from our kind of small perspective as a real estate team here in Minnesota. So, again, we're a group of, you know, 200-plus agents all over Minnesota and western Wisconsin. And I can tell you almost every day I get probably one to two, maybe three emails from someone on our team and or someone at one of our friends at Edina Realty or Coldwell Banker or whatever saying, look, I have a $500,000 buyer. I've been looking for 6 months, and my people, they're moving to the Twin Cities. They cannot find a home to move into.
Yep.
And so there is the proof really is more so in that seeing that strong buyer need that literally daily it's happening. So it's not made up. I'm getting those emails. Mike, you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of look at it. It's like the new construction that's being built now, there's a lot of new construction out there, right? I mean, people are like, they're building homes all over the place, and you see that, right? The biggest problem with new construction is where do the price points start at?
Yep.
They don't start at first-time home buyer price points,
no.
Right? The people that can afford the new construction homes that are going up now are your move-up buyers, you know, or your more executive type of buyers and stuff like that. It's not first-time home buyers going in there. So all the homes that are in that, let's say in that price point of, you know, the 300 to 450 price point, which would be like the first-time home buyer range now, a lot of those people, like Scott said, refinance down to 2.7 and 3% interest rates, and they're sitting. So we don't have the inventory in the price points coming on where first-time home buyers can gobble those up. And so now your buyer pool has shrunk by that much because, well, you take out first-time home buyers because there's nothing out there in the market in their price point. Well, now that slows the rest of the chain up the chain there.
Well, and I know we're up against a break, but we can talk about this maybe when we get back. But you also have to remember, 2006 to about 2013, huge hedge funds bought a ton of property in the Twin Cities that they're keeping as rentals. So again, you throw in the refinance boom, you throw in the fact that all those homes are off the market. So do we have a shortage of homes? I don't think so. Do we have a shortage of homes on the market? Absolutely.
Yeah, I just, again, really good question. I appreciate you asking that one. And it's tough sledding for a lot of, again, our friends, all the real estate friends at the different companies. Any really good agent maybe have 2, 3, 5 active buyers that they literally can't find a home for their people. And that's unusual. Again, in the years that I've done this, very unusual. Hey, we're at the halfway point, the Minnesota Real Estate Show. You're welcome to join us, 612-294-6949. I loved Carl's question. Thinking of you, Carl, owning that real estate your whole life. Any young people listening to the show, that is the goal. Buy something. I have a friend whose son just bought a home. He is, I think, 20 years old. I'm like, good for you. Good for you. The power of real estate. We'll be back after the break. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us. Hope your weekend's going well. And again, hope you're having a wonderful holiday season. Hard to believe this is the final show, the final act for 2025. The last show here, Scott. Can you believe it, bud? We got one final show, and here we go.
Yeah, that's it. We won't see you till 2026. It's been a fun year. This year, I think it would be kind of fun to go back to the beginning of our first show last year and see what our predictions were. Because I know that we predicted, I remember that we predicted we'd get to 10,000 homes, which we did. But I know I predicted that we would be in the low fives in interest rates. I thought with the new administration, they would get creative to do things that I wouldn't necessarily agree with that could drive interest rates down. That hasn't materialized. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what our predictions were.
Yes. Looking back here, the thing that caught me this year that caught my eye, if you will, is the talk about a 50-year mortgage.
Yeah.
It's clearly on the radar if there's talks, right? There was like, okay, do we do a 50-year mortgage? Do we do the transferable interest rate? So if you have a 3% 30-year fix on your house now, can you transfer that rate to your next house?
Yeah.
And there's been talks about that. So it's there. Right. The thought process is there. They're talking about it, but there's nothing that has surfaced that's really been like, yep, this is what we're going to do. It's just talks for now.
Well, yeah. And understand that, guys. We've talked about this before, and I've said, I don't care if God himself is in the president's office or President Trump or President whoever. They do not control interest rates. They don't control housing prices. So I get tired of reading all the housing prices are still up. This administration said they were going to lower it, which they did, which was dumb. Because they don't have control of it. It is a free market system. It's driven by a free market. Less homes on the market, prices are more. A lot of homes on the market, prices are less. Interest rates are driven by a lot of things, but a bad economy is the best thing for it, which we had when COVID hit, which of course we don't want to have happen, but that's why rates were at 2.7%. So nobody has control of it. It's a free market.
Hey, we like to feature some listings every week. The first one we're going to feature, Michelle Erickson, agent on the Minnesota Real Estate Team, RE/MAX Advantage Plus, has one in Afton, 15800 33rd Street in Afton, priced for $275,000. It's a beautiful lot in downtown historic Afton. She said it's ready to enjoy as is or rebuilt upon with the city. It's a block away from the St. Croix. With river views year-round, a lot is graded with a new retaining wall added. There's an architectural concept plan. 3D model are also available. Spring-fed pond in the northeast corner. It's zoned residential commercial. Again, 15800 33rd Street in Afton for $275,000. very nice, a nice property. The other one, Scott, Mike, and Steve, is Gary Tim has one in Maple Grove, 9062 Archer Lane North in Maple Grove, 4299. It is a beautifully renovated one-level townhome. It's in the Chapel Wood additions, three-bed, three-bath, open layout with a gas fireplace and a sunroom, brand-new composite deck, large, newly carpeted family room, immense storage area, all new stainless steel appliances are included, making it ready, move-in ready. Check that out, 9062 Archer Lane North, Maple Grove, 4299. Steve Stalock, Win Home Inspection, you are a wonderful partner. All of our great partners are at mnrealestateshow.com. These are people that we trust, that most importantly, take care of our clients, take care of the listeners. Steve, great to have you on, bud.
It's a great foggy day, but we're here and we're plugging along.
What do you got for us? How was the year for Win Home Inspection for you? I was just asking you before the show, do you ever take a day off? You are always working every show, every weekend. You're driving somewhere for an inspection.
Yeah, I do block a few days off. I do block one day midweek. It's a mom day, so that I kind of move my weekend into the weekday. But for the most part, yeah.
When you say it's a mom day, it's because you take care of your mom on that day.
It's
not
the
that
one
in
day,
general you go out to mom's places.
No. you know, it never really occurred to me that that would be possible. So for all the moms out there, that's
if you knock
what
on the door,
meant,
hey, it's Steve, it's mom's day.
No, that's the day I visit my mom, and I put that in the middle of the week. So that's not what we came here to talk about. but, yeah, I've been busy. December is a little bit slower. My activity does reflect the fact that pending sales are down, I think you said 18%.
Yep.
And I don't mind it getting a little slower right about December because, you know, we could all use a little bit softening of the pace. So, I've been busy.
So curious, so we had a really cold stretch there, right? This is the first year that I've ever got my ass out on the lake before Christmas, right? Super cold stretch. Now we've warmed up. Any challenges with homes and inspections because of that rapid change?
That kind of stuff. The thermal shock absolutely can. You get the deep freeze. It was kind of weird. That happened real quick. And as I was inspecting, even in the beginning of December, people hadn't shut off their outside water. And then all of a sudden, deep freeze, it's like, hey, your water's still on. So that kind of stuff catches people by surprise. And the other thing, you know, you get this real rapid freeze, then thaw and heavy snow, then we get ice damming, especially with older homes that, you know, not terribly sealed up, insulated very well. So then you're dealing with ice dams. So, yeah, that's a common thing in Minnesota.
Aren't ice dams, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't they really a insulation problem?
It's a mix. So basically what you have a thermal envelope. You have to insulate and ventilate, but also over the years we didn't seal up our interior very well. So what you have is air leaks, like, you know, heat and humidity is going through every little crack and opening in your ceiling and walls. So every time you cut a hole in a ceiling for a light fixture, they never sealed that up. An air would infiltrate up there, so you're still getting a lot of heat loss up through your ceiling. You got to seal up a house.
612-294-6949 is how you can reach us. We got some phone lines ringing right now. And, again, appreciate you joining us here, talking to Steve Stalock, a Win Home Inspection. Steve, ice dams is a common item. I always think about water in the basement and how is that water with the sump pump, how is that going up? We're going to continue the discussion, but we're going to go to Mark. Mark, thanks for calling the Minnesota Real Estate Show. How can we best help?
Yeah, thanks for helping. I've got a brother who's selling a home up in the Zimmerman area. It's a starter home. It's two bedrooms, unfinished basement, two-car garage. You know, pretty basic home there. He's building northwestern Minnesota, so he's get his house cleaned out. He's trying to figure out, should he put time and money into replacing like laminate flooring and carpeting and stuff like that, or should he just clean the stuff out of his house and have it listed?
Yeah, Scott.
You know, I would definitely. It's a hard question to answer without seeing the house, but there's a couple ways you can go. If it is in too big of a disrepair where you just want to sell it as is, basically you put it at a number, collect offers, and have it gone. That there's that can sometimes be the correct way to go. But normally, if it's just flooring, if it's just paint, if it's just light fixtures, I would normally suggest getting those things done to give it a nice facelift. But again, it all depends per property and without seeing it and so on. It's hard to tell you, but that's the normal stuff.
Yeah, again, we're of course happy to help. No pressure at all. But even if you want us to take a look at it or to give an idea on value, Scott. Yeah, Scott. Generally, again, those are things: paint, carpet, flooring, lights, brightening up the property. Just kind of basic things are all still very important in this market, even though we've got very limited inventory. Buyers don't necessarily want to buy junky stuff. And there's a lot of those people out there that will, hey, we'll buy your house. Remember, though, they're buying it for a pretty significant discount. They're doing that to make a buck. So, again, we're happy to help. We're up against the break already. Steve, we're going to continue the discussion with you, friend. After the break, 612-294-6949. And after the break, Scott is going to join in on a polka as well. He was so inspired by the O'Neill Brothers concert, he would like to carry on the tradition. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome back to the final segment of the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Scott's having dreams of one of his children perhaps someday playing the cello. You were just commenting how, you know, at the concert we had two great cellists, one of which who had long hair. But you're just thinking about playing cello.
Well, I was just thinking about what happens in your family environment where, I mean, how many cello players are there? Five in the country?
There's a lot.
So what occurs to make a child? It has to be like in your family, like all your nephews and nieces, they're all musical.
Well, they play cello.
They play cello, but they're all musical. So I think you have to grow up in that kind of a family. Because, you know, none of my kids, they couldn't play anything, you know, because it wasn't in our deal.
Steve Stalock, Win Home Inspection. I'll try to keep the show on the road here. Hey, anything else inspection-wise, homeowners to be aware of this time of year, existing homeowners?
Oh, yeah, a couple of things. You had dropped the question about sump pumps. So if you have a home that's, say, older than 40 years old, you probably don't have drain tile and sump pump. But if you do, that's something you should be checking. We're going through heavy snow, rapid snow melt. So what you're getting is a lot of water around your foundation that can seep in. Just go make sure your sump is running. A lot of people don't ever check it. Some people don't even know they have a sump pump. You need to look.
I'll tell you, just from personal example, I've been guilty of that, even as a homeowner, of just every year, add it as a to-do list. And, you know, this time of year, go check your sump pump, check the battery. There's backups you can do.
If you have one.
Yeah, we've had water in the basement because of my error in not doing that. So that's a simple homeowner's thing that, again, if you're a new homeowner, put it on the calendar every Christmas Day or every December 31st, Scott, to do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Hey, we had a text question came in that said, what do you think the number one buyer mistake is? So I'm assuming when they're buying a home, what's the number one buyer mistake?
Mike, number one buyer mistake here, are you from a lender's perspective or anything coming to mind? I can see your mind thinking there, Michael.
I mean, with the lender hat on, it's like not working with someone to get pre-approved and know your numbers before you get out there and start looking. I mean, I see it a lot. People will go out, it's like, we weren't expecting to buy a house, or, you know, or we knew we were going to buy a house. We started looking at homes before we actually ran the numbers. Now we fell in love with this house, but the numbers don't work for us, but we still want to buy that house. And it's like, well, you kind of put the cart before the horse type of deal. So that would be my thing, is just getting the pre-approval stuff done early.
How about from your standpoint, Steve?
Well, from my perspective, skipping the home inspection. As a first-time home buyer, you really want to find someone you can trust, someone that an inspector who would let you show up for the majority or all the inspections, so that you can learn, ask questions. They'll teach you about the house. What's this? Where's my breaker panel?
And you're so good at that. That's one of the many reasons you get great reviews, yeah. Referrals, is that teaching moment.
Yeah, and I look back at my personal experience owning homes. first house, there was no inspection business back in the 80s, or if it was, it was pretty thin. You know, I bought houses not knowing what the heck things were. So it's a school of hard knocks. But get in, learn about it, ask questions, because the day you get the keys to the house, reality's going to hit, and you're going to have to start taking care of things.
Scott, what do you think, bud?
A couple things popping in my mind, but the biggest mistakes I've seen, the biggest financial mistakes I've seen, is buyers that are unrepresented. So they're going out and they're flying blind. They're going on the internet. They're shopping. They're looking for a deal in their mind. They're looking for a deal, and they go and they buy a house with no representation on their side. That's the biggest money mistakes I've seen. The other kind of sideways mistake that I find myself talking buyers out of a lot is the individual. You'll see this. Oh, that's okay. I don't mind the road. It doesn't bother me. Well, if you're not represented, you'll go ahead and buy that house. The problem is it matters to 99% of everyone that's going to buy it. And at some point, you got to sell it. So I think a combination of those two, being unrepresented, which I have no idea why you would be unrepresented, but I've seen it through the years a lot, and they end up paying too much. And then the other one.
Yeah, and again, I know that sounds kind of realtor-ish, but I've seen it a lot too, kind of putting my role with our team. I work a lot kind of as dealing with the problems, if you will, as the broker. And so what happens a lot of times is also not only being unrepresented, but maybe choosing the wrong agent. Just was talking to a friend who was moving from out of state and got working with an agent who just happened to be not really knowing what they're doing. Spent 3 or 4 months looking at a home, ended up having to cancel the contract, and, you know, wasted a lot of time. And so, again, there are tons of great agents in the Twin Cities with all of the companies, really. I mean, again, we have friends at all the companies. Just know who you're working with. The other thing real quick, guys, I was going to say, Steve, is timing the market. Sometimes as buyers, if you try to overthink things, you try to time it. Is this the perfect time to buy? I think about, well, now it's the Bob and Kathy O'Neill House of Hope. I bought it in 2001. I paid full price. I paid $185 at the time. It's on a busy road, and it's probably worth, I don't know, maybe $350 now. So it wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect. It probably wasn't a great time. I paid full price. It's a busy road. But you know, it's like Carl. Get in the game.
Yeah.
Get in the game and hold on to it, Steve.
That's great advice. I do look back again at my own personal experience, and I did put off home purchase for a while. And a lot of my friends got into home property investing, and they retired early.
Yeah,
it's amazing how that works. Yeah, it's no, it is. It's it does sound realtors, but I truly do mean that. I don't really understand why anyone would go fly blind. When people ask me what should I do, I'm always like, quit shopping on the internet, interview 3 agents. Find one that you trust. And a real easy barometer of this, if you feel like you're being sold by your real estate agent, get a different real estate agent. If you feel like they're trying to sell you into a property, get somebody else. That's not our job.
Yeah, cut them loose.
Yeah, cut them loose.
Hey, real quick, before we wrap up, there was some big news the past couple weeks. Google may be getting in the real estate business. There was some comments and some posts about Google showing listings directly. In other words, right now you go to Google and you can hop on all the websites, ColdwellBanker.com, EdinaRealty.com, Remax.com, Zillow, etc. Interesting, guys. This could be an interesting play in 2026 where Google wants a share of that action, where instead of them going to Zillow or going to Remax, they're going to Google. Mike, did you hear anything about that? Did you hear that news?
I did hear a little bit about that. I just kind of rolled my eyes at that whole thing again, because, like, here's just another way to someone, you know, it's like the conveyor belt.
Well, they're just going to sell back the information to us.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's just like, what are you really getting? Like, what's the benefit of the consumer? Like, what's a consumer getting on that end? You're not getting an expert.
No.
You're not getting, you know, a trained eye to help you out through the process. It's just, I don't know. I just don't see it lasting long.
Zillow stock, I think, that one day dropped 11% with that news.
Oh, I'm sure.
Hey, Steve, before we wrap up, best way for people to connect with you, fellow agents listening, consumers listening, love working with the handsome bald guy.
I appreciate that. My business phone number, 952-891-4455. That's actually, I'm old school. That's an old landline. Don't text it. Best way to get in touch with me, you go to the mnrealestateshow.com website and look at the preferred partners, and my information's there. Just scroll down to home inspectors, look for that big, beaming, bald head, handsome, bald guy. That's me. That's where you'll find my contact info.
Great job, buddy. We appreciate you.
Great to be here.
Yeah, Scott, last thoughts?
No, just holidays, Christmas. We will be back. We won't be back till the new year. So,
yeah.
So happy new year. We won't see you until after the new year. So have a great new year.
Yeah, happy new year. Mike, last thoughts?
Yeah, just, you know, I think we're going to have a great 2026. I think it's going to be steady and predictable, which is kind of what we all wanted over the last couple years here. Get out there. If you're in the market, reach out to us. We'd love to help.
Oh, I did until Google's getting involved. Now I'm depressed.
Hey, thank you, everybody. Thanks to Ryan Perpich for coming in to deal with us every weekend. We appreciate you listening. We're here to help your family however we can. Please don't ever hesitate to reach out. Have a safe holiday season. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening.